Lord, take my lips and speak through them. Take our minds and think through them. Take our hearts and set them on fire with your abundant love. Amen. Morning. There are several miracles going on in our scriptures for today. I'm thinking that the greatest miracle of all is that we are given a glimpse of who God really is, a God of abundance, not scarcity, opening the eyes of our hearts to believe in the abundance of God, even for the time that we're gathered here this morning might just be the real miracle. One of the many joys in ministry that it has been my great privilege to be a part of has been traveling with at times adults and many, many times with high school age youth to spend a week or 10 days or so somewhere in the country where a natural disaster has occurred and help is needed to clean up debris, muck out houses and yards, repair porches, decks and roofs, build access ramps, paint, you name it, we did it. After Katrina, the floods in the Rockies, the tornadoes in Oklahoma and Ohio, on Pine Ridge Reservation, among some. Sometimes we went to support communities across the country, joining with hundreds of other faith communities to repair homes for those who lacked the resources or were physically unable to do the work themselves. The youth and adults who went on these trips were often untrained and unskilled for the projects we were given. I certainly was. And yet it never failed that when a group of people who traveled for a day or two or three to help people they didn't know showed up with tools, prayer, and faith and the abundance of God to provide what would be needed, miracles of compassion, human connection, skilled folks showing up to guide appeared, and the work was accomplished every time. It was laboring work from early morning to late afternoon and early evening. When neighbors saw us out there, soon enough, out of their homes, they would come. And together, we always figured out how to get the work accomplished. If you want a porch built, call me. I can roof. I can drywall. I can pour cement. Check it out. In the evenings, we gathered for worship, and the people we had met on the sites and worked alongside often joined us. And the work groups were asked to share their God sightings. Where had we seen the abundant love and compassion of God at work? And I have to tell you, the stories were never scarce. The God sightings were abundant. Stories of whole neighborhoods joining in the efforts, homeowners making delicious treats and sometimes full meals for those working on their houses. And as work and food was shared, souls were nourished in the stories of how each came to be there, how God was working in their lives, or how they needed God in their lives, or how God showed up in the form of travelers from all over the country with a desire to help. And no matter how hard we worked or how tired we got, inevitably we always felt that we received far more than we gave. The abundant connections that God brought into our lives during those mission trips changed our lives and opened our hearts to the miracles of God's love and compassion all around us. I know I always saw possibility instead of roadblocks, open hearts instead of protected hearts, love instead of hate, understanding in place of fear of the unknown. We were each fed in the depth of our souls by the abundance of God we found in strangers who became dear friends. We always went into those weeks feeling what preacher, teacher, and writer Barbara Brown Taylor concluded after leading a mission trip with her youth. We started out feeling skinny with 5 loaves and 2 fishes, but we came out fat with 12 baskets to spare. Not because we did anything right, not because we had enough to give, but because God made good on God's promise to match our gifts, such as they were with God's own. It is something to remember when the crowds look too big and the odds too poor, the work too hard, the situation too helpless. It's something to remember when our own resources look too meager, our efforts too puny, our spirits too low. It's not up to me or you or us to feed the whole world, to solve the whole problem, to fix the whole world. It is just up to me and you and us to share what we've got, to feed whatever big or little hunger that happens to be standing right in front of us. The rest will come because God is God, the God of abundance. The rest will come. As the culture shifts around us and less people choose to be a part of an institutional church, we see many faith communities hunkering down, protecting resources, and fearing for their survival. As churches close every day, the fear grows. We are at risk of living a life together that is rooted and grounded in fear and self-preservation rather than in Christ. Look at what Paul tells us in the passage from Ephesians. The theme that runs through Ephesians continues here in this passage. There is no family, no nation or tribe or people, no person, no one who is beyond the love of God. I know this sounds like a claim yet you'd expect to hear in church. And yet even as we gather here, we bring among us countless secret hurts, private shames, dashed hopes. Some of us struggle every day to make ends meet. Some of us are unsheltered and count on the care of others for food and clothing. It's possible that on any given Sunday, we might just be struggling to trust in God, let alone God's abundance. And yet here we are, looking for God in this place, in one another. God's help is needed, and that's for sure. In our passage from Ephesians, Paul finds himself on his knees in prayer for the congregation in the foundling church in Ephesus. He prays, "For this reason I bow my knees before the God from whom every family in heaven and on earth takes its name." Paul is filled with joy and deep gratitude that all followers of Jesus Christ are part of God's own family. There is no us and them, insider or outsider. All are part of the family of God. He then begins a prayer that many pastors, myself included, have offered in love for God's people with whom I serve in Christ's mission. Paul's hope is that they would let the boundless love of Christ into their very being, that Christ will live in the hearts of the congregation as it is being rooted and grounded in love. Paul seems to know that the church is at risk of not making it. Instead of railing on at them to get it together and be on their guard lest they lose their faith, Paul turns instead in prayer to God and asks for the power that is needed in the church. It is a beautiful prayer of trust in God's love for every last person and for this congregation and of Paul's love for this people of God. This prayer has brought me to tears once again, as it has at numerous points in my ministry with every congregation in which God has called me. God's love is rooted in you here. And that love is abundant. Why do we constantly see scarcity? Paul moves on in his prayer from the strength of Christ in their inner being, their heart, to pray for their mind. I pray that you have the power to comprehend, to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. Paul says this love is mammoth. What is the breadth and length and height and depth of this love? One of the reflections I read on this passage suggested that the preacher would struggle all week to find the words that will press the Sunday school language of Jesus loves me deeper. breaking this love open so that the sermon is not simply proclaiming a greeting card faith of cliches and platitudes. Indeed, I did wrestle all week with the hope to somehow break open the enormity of God's desire to have each one of us find within ourselves that great aha. There Christ is, into me. To embrace with every fiber and sinew of our being this humongous love. To know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that we may be filled with all the fullness of God. And then to take that love into the world and spread it lavishly wherever we go. Imagine every person you encounter or choose to embrace, suddenly encountering the breadth and length and height and depth of the love of God for them, and find themselves filled with the fullness of God. That is Paul's prayer. After each service today, we will gather to hear a quarterly update on our variety of ministries, along with a financial update. Pray that we can engage together in what will be shared from the perspective of the abundant love of God, and not hear only with ears of fear and scarcity. Where does the deep love of Christ in you meet the abundant love of God that lives in this community of faith, of faithful, beloved people of God? Jesus' question to Philip in John's gospel today is a question of how much Philip believes in God's promise to love us extravagantly and give us all we need to love as God loves and accomplish the work of love, reconciliation, justice, equity, and mercy for everyone. Paul's prayer is for the church to believe in God's promise, living, loving, and acting in and through us. As Edwin Searcy writes in Feasting on the World, on the Word, is this asking too much? Is it possible that a congregation with all its weaknesses and perceived limitations and fears and misunderstandings can be filled with God, indwelt by Christ? Paul knows that the congregation is wondering how this prayer can possibly be answered. Could we be wondering the same thing? It is the reason that the sermon will rightly end where Paul ends this text from Ephesians today, focused on God. Now to him who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish abundantly far more than all we can ask or imagine, to him be the glory. Paul gives me and every preacher the words to testify that God is already at work in us, in this congregation. This massive holy power is present even in our fumbling, faithful attempts to live faithfully, lovingly, courageously in the face of all that threatens us. Our daring prayers to be strengthened in faith and to comprehend God's grace are not asking too much. In fact, God is able to accomplish abundantly far more than we can ask or imagine. In fact, I believe that the very thing that we have prayed for has been given. We continue to rise stronger in faith, grounded more firmly in love, and ever more deeply filled by the fullness of a God who answers our prayers. Poet David White in The House of Belonging reminds us, "This is the time for loaves and fishes. People are hungry. And one word of the abundant, extravagant love of God is bread for 1,000. Amen.